This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
This morning, again, we're going to start reading in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 61, as we did last week, and then we're going to move to Matthew 5, where we find the Beatitudes. So listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And then Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, he, Jesus, went up in the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." A couple of weeks ago, you probably watched the events surrounding the death of Prince Philip. And when I watched the coverage of Prince Philip's death and listened to the commentary surrounding the funeral, one word stood out for me more than any other. And that word was stoicism. The Times said the royal marriage was built on stoicism, the odd clash, and a deep sense of understanding. The Spectator said Prince Philip epitomized British stoicism. Any emotion shown by the Queen or the royal family was reported dramatically, as if it contradicted this narrative, this assumption of being stoic. Recently, the Prime Minister praised the church for sacrifices made over the past 12 months, as churches had to stop meeting in person and reduced all of the many active and practical ways that we serve in our community. And the Prime Minister said, "I know that has been a huge burden for many Christians, but it is a burden you have borne with selfless stoicism, without complaint." I genuinely think Boris was attempting to make a compliment there. Yet Christianity is unlike stoicism. Christianity, of course, encourages and offers peace of mind. It even says that one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the things that is evidence of God's Spirit in your life, changing you and transforming you, is self-control. But stoicism, and at the heart of stoicism, is something different. Christianity is unlike this stoicism that seems to be held in such high regard in our culture. Going back, stoicism has its roots in Athens, 300 years before Christ was born. Stoicism means you do not get emotionally involved. To be a Stoic, you do not get your hopes up, nor do you let your hopes down. You do not let anything bother you because you detach yourself from it. The Stoic seeks to master the ability to remain cool and calm in all circumstances. Their mantra, I think, is summed up in an old Doris Day and Frank Duval classic song, Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Stoicism accepts the world as it is. Que sera, sera. Christianity wants it to change. Christians want it to change. Followers of Jesus want it to change. It needs to change. And Jesus was not a Stoic. He raged against the injustices of his day. Read the Gospels of Jesus' reaction to the injustice towards women, children, the poor, and the sick. Jesus also enjoyed a good party. His first miracle was performed at a wedding party. And children loved being in his company. At one point in the Gospels, we're told that there were so many children hanging around Jesus that the disciples tried to chase them away. Now, you know kids. Kids only want to be around those who are fun, who are kind, who are attentive, who have charisma. And Jesus was not a Stoic because Jesus shed bitter tears as he wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. And on another occasion, as he sat looking at the city of Jerusalem, he wept for their refusal to recognize him and welcome God. And then when he too faced death for himself, we're told he was on his knees in a garden. And the anxiety and the pressure of what God was asking of him was so great that his sweat dripped off him like drops, droplets of blood. And Jesus, when we meet him on the cross, is unlike the Stoic in Monty Python's film, who finally accepts all the torture and the pain and says, look, always look on the bright side of life. We're told in the Gospels Jesus was in agony. He was thirsty. He was in mental and spiritual torment. Those who were there said they saw and they heard his pain. God on the cross is a sacrifice for us. All the sins of our making. Jesus hung on the cross because at the heart of Christianity is a God who does not accept the world as it is. A God who is not a Stoic. 300 years after the death of Jesus, a Christian called St. Augustine wrote a book called The City of God. St. Augustine argued that pleasure and pain, sadness and happiness are right responses. Right responses to a world that is both extraordinarily beautiful, created out of the goodness and the generosity of God, and yet at the same time a world that is broken and damaged and fallen a long way off what it should have been and could have been. Christians mourn. We are saddened and angry at what we see in the world. Injustice, suffering, death, none of it sits well with us. Like Jesus, we do not accept this world as it is. We campaign for justice, gender equality. We campaign against water poverty. We want an end to modern day slavery, domestic violence that happens in our streets and neighborhoods and homes here in Belfast. And for example, promoting conservation and environmental change as Prince Philip pioneered himself, the one who was called a Stoic. These are among the many things that Christians are involved in, that are signs that we do not accept this world as it is. We follow Jesus, who commands us to love. And when we love, we give ourselves. And we give our time and our money and our talents and our energy to changing the world. When we obey Jesus' command to love, in particular, when we love others, because the command is not exclusive to just that, but when we love others, we enter fully into a relationship. We give of ourselves to the other person. We invest in that relationship. And in that love, you leave yourself vulnerable to loss, to losing that which you have loved. Prince Philip and the Queen knew that only too well. After 74 years of companionship, friendship, and marriage, we mourn at the loss of someone we have loved. We mourn at the suffering we see in a world that we love. We mourn the sin in our lives that dishonors and offends a God who we are invited to love. Christians mourn, and we do not apologize for it. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 says, "When we mourn, when you mourn, you will find a blessing. It is a blessed place." Because our mourning is another reminder that this world needs to change. We need to change. We will not accept this world and us as we are and as it is. It's like a patient who gives a surgeon permission to clean and to treat and to bind up the wound. Our mourning gives us permission, gives God permission, to comfort us and heal us as we lay bare our broken hearts. All those emotional and spiritual wounds. And in parts of the world, there are Christians who have physical wounds inflicted upon them. When we do not mourn, express our sorrow and our pain and our disappointment to God, we let all that remain within us. And any surgeon will tell you, if you let those things remain within you that are not good, they will fester and the disease will spread and you will not get any better. Even in the midst of trouble and sorrow, we find God there and a blessing. Unless we look for God, what are we left with? Disappointment, bitterness, cynicism, and even despair at ourselves or the world. And we may direct it at something particular. We despair at our health service, or we despair at our government, or we despair at our family. Instead of saying, God, I give all this to you, all my disappointment, all my pain, all my hurt, everything I'm feeling, my anger and frustration, I give it all to you in one great mourning. Our mourning is a cry to God to help us, to comfort us. Our mourning is a blessing because we are told in Matthew chapter 5, the very words of Jesus, you will be comforted. Things will change. I will make a difference in you. In the Old Testament, the prophet said that when the Messiah, the Christ, would come, he'd be the comforter. He would bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus is our comfort. He's the one Isaiah 61 is talking about. Jesus' death was not the last word. Good Friday was not the end. We are Easter people. We are resurrection people. We know we mourn, but we also know we are comforted. After Jesus ascended into heaven, in the absence of his physical presence on earth, he sent the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, this Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The Comforter, to be present in the lives of every believer, bringing a supernatural, transformational comfort from God. Do you know, when I was at university and I'd go out with my friends, we'd all put on these heels, these shoes that added about 3 inches. And you know me, I do not need 3 inches added to me. But anyway, we put these shoes on and we'd go out for a night. By the end of the night, I would be walking home carrying my shoes in my hands back to the flat in Glasgow, because my feet were in such discomfort and such pain. And I think to myself, why did I put myself through it, knowing that the next night I'd probably do exactly the same? When I now buy shoes, I buy shoes for comfort. And I want to know what technology is in that shoe that's going to guarantee me comfort. Because that's what we need. That's what's best for us. Paul describes the Holy Spirit as the technology behind the comfort of God. He says in Romans chapter 8, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. When you welcome the Holy Spirit into your life, the Spirit of God, when you look to God for all you need in the world, a world that is uncomfortable and painful and disappointing and frustrating, when you look to God, you're welcoming this spiritual technology into you, this power, this comfort of God. Although unseen, like the spiritual or the technology that's supposed to be in my shoes and giving me the comfort, this God's Spirit in us is like that. It's unseen. We can't see it, but we know it's there and we feel the effect of it. That power to overcome, that power to persevere, that power to love, that power to heal, that power to give eternal life. All that we need in this world, where we find comfort and we enjoy this blessed life that Jesus was describing in Matthew chapter 5. Malone, let me finish by saying this. Jesus never said, blessed are those who accept this world as it is and never be affected by it. Jesus was not a stoic. He knew how to find and where to receive the blessed life. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's pray. Father God, we approach you this morning. Maybe like that patient I described who gives a surgeon permission to clean, to treat, and bind up the wound. We give you this morning permission to do the same in us. But knowing what that may mean for some of us, we ask for your courage. We ask for your peace. We welcome your help. We need your comfort. We have been wounded. Some of us here have been wounded by the death of a loved one. Wounded by the suffering of others. And we feel we can't help. And we feel frustrated and disappointed. Wounded by the brokenness in this world. Or wounded by the brokenness in ourselves, by our sin, when we fail to obey you and live as you intend it. God, sometimes we just don't know what's good for us. Bring your healing, God, right into the center of our lives. Bind up our broken hearts. Comfort us as we have mourned for what we have lost, who we have lost. Comfort us as we mourn our regrets and disappointments. Comfort us as we mourn our failings. Comfort us, God. And may we receive all that power that you promise us through your Spirit in us, doing a work in us, fixing us, bringing that resurrection power to transform us, change us, heal us. Father God, we hold on this morning to the vision of Apostle John's in the book of Revelation. He says, you will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for these former things have passed away. We hold on to that hope. We hold on to you, God. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, as we take time this morning to bring others before you that need our prayers, we ask that you will still our hearts and our minds and souls. God be with us. As we are still living with the threat of COVID-19 pandemic, guide us and give us the wisdom we need to cope with the future. Father, we especially remember those who need our prayers. The NHS staff whose burden has eased but not yet gone away. Patients with COVID-19 here in Northern Ireland and in the UK. And those who have lost loved ones due to the pandemic. We particularly pray for the situation in India, where the spread of the disease is unthinkable. And the daily death rate is so high that we can hardly believe the figures. In the past 7 days alone, over 2.5 million people have contracted COVID-19. And over 15,000 people have died in the same period. We pray, Father, that the doctors, nurses and all hospital staff who are at breaking point will be shielded from this pandemic. The news programs show us all some very distressing sights. Lord, please give wisdom to the leaders to make the right decisions. Brazil, another country where the spread of the pandemic is rampant, and the medical staff there are also close to breaking point. Lord, be very close to these needy people. Show them that you love them. We pray too for the nation of Israel, who mourn the death of 45 people, young and old, at a Jewish festival in the north of the country. Be with those who suffer loss and who mourn. We pray for the Queen and the royal family who are still grieving for the loss of the Duke of Edinburgh, and we ask, Lord, that you will comfort all grieving people at this time. Matthew 5, verse 4 tells us, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Father, we pray for our local assembly at this time that you will give them the wisdom they need in the forthcoming weeks to stabilise the current political situation. Climate change, where do we go? The G7 summit in June and the UN climate negotiations in November will provide a platform for the world leaders to grasp this problem. So we ask, Father, that you will give these world leaders the wisdom that is needed to help save our planet. Wisdom. Where do we seek this wisdom? Proverbs 3 helps us with a series of guidelines and steps to follow. But to have this type of wisdom, we all need you, God. We pray for the third world countries. Many have little or no medical equipment, and ask that the relief agencies will have sufficient funds to meet their needs. The withdrawal of funding from the UK government will cause grave concerns for all relief agencies, and we pray that the public will be moved to support financially these charities and relief agencies. As we enter a period of relaxed lockdown, we pray that society as a whole might respond in a way that is measured and wise, rather than react to unfolding events with fear, panic, or carelessness. May we remember to put others' needs before our own. Heavenly Father, we would continue to remember before you the self-employed and those who work in hospitality, who have been hit very hard by the lockdown and their loss of business. Please help them at this time, and especially those who have fewer reserves to fall back on. We pray, God, that you will give them peace and supply their needs. God, you who are love and taught us the true meaning of love by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us, promote in us that same sacrificial self-giving love that we may love our neighbours as ourselves. We ask that these our prayers are made in and through the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.